The following presentation is a production of Ride the Wave Media.
All right, welcome, heathens, to Vibing the Apocalypse. It is day 1484 of the apocalypse. I hope you're doing well. It's April now here in Utah, which means that we only have about six or seven more snowstorms until we have summer in July. So looking forward to that very much. Today is a little bit, a little overcast, not snowy, but it's sort of like threatened snow. Like every once in a while, I'll get a little wisp. And my friends up in Idaho, they got snowed on yesterday. So stay safe, Idahoans. I had a show last night. I did something called Don't Tell Comedy. Don't Tell Comedy is a little pop-up comedy venue where they find cool little locations throughout the valley, and they'll do a surprise lineup and a surprise location. So you buy tickets for a day, and then you kind of find out day of where the venue is and who the lineup is going to be. And I was on the show. It was at Witchy Yoga Studio. No, Witchy Yoga Girl. That was the name of the place. Witchy Yoga Girl, I think over in Sandy. And it was pretty witchy. There were crystals everywhere, which were rad. I love crystals. And about 38 people came out, and we did a little bit of comedy for them. And it was really fun. And it made me really appreciative of the community that I live in and the people that are in it. And I've been thinking a lot about, community in the context of the apocalypse, because as the world becomes more and more unstable at the top, I'm just thinking about like when I think about the US election that's coming up in this year, it's going to be just awful, right? Everything about it is going to royally suck, no matter how it goes. And what that's sort of done to me is it's made me feel like that part of the world is maybe a little less relevant in my life. And what maybe is more relevant in my life is the immediate community that I'm surrounded by. And I've just felt when I thought about that last night, as I was driving home from this comedy show, I just felt an overwhelming sense of gratitude for the community that I live in. I live in a really awesome community in Utah. It's called Daybreak. And Daybreak is a really cool community because it's very intentional. Like, Daybreak wasn't supposed to be here. In fact, the land that we're on, I learned this just last night. The land that we're on, that Daybreak is built on, it's way out kind of west in west of Salt Lake Valley, over by the Kennecott Mines. So there's some smaller mountains opposite the Wasatch Front, and that's sort of where Daybreak is, which now that I think about it is a little funny that Daybreak is in the west, because Daybreak feels more like that feels more like an east name. Like, so I don't know why they called it Daybreak. Maybe because we get the sunlight from the day as it breaks over the Wasatch Mountains. Maybe that's where it came from. Anyway, Daybreak is a really cool community. And when it was, but before it was built out here, this was like a testing site. So the dirt that we are on, like the land that we are on, they would use for testing. And I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if that was like, I doubt that was nuclear testing. Maybe it was like smaller bomb testing, or maybe it was chemical testing. I don't know. But the comment that I read in our little, we have like a little Facebook group with about 11,000 members, and kind of in and around Daybreak. And someone was talking about how they wanted to plant a garden. And they were asking if the garden food would be impacted by the testing that had been done here. And somebody got on there and said, yeah, no worries. There's actually 50 feet of fill dirt between the testing site and Daybreak. So they piled on 50 feet of dirt over the old dirt that was here before they built this community. And if that's not an apocalyptic community, I don't know what is, because this community is literally built on a testing site, which is wild to me. And how did we do it? Well, we just piled a bunch of dirt on it And then we intentionally created this really beautiful neighborhood. And Daybreak is such a, if you haven't ever been out here, you should come check it out, because it is such a cool location. And they've just really intentionally built, there are a bunch of neighborhoods, kind of sub neighborhoods in Daybreak that all have their own unique kind of flavor. Like, I'm in a place where there are a bunch of townhomes, so it feels a little more urban, feels a little more, more city-like. I'm right next to the track station. There's a library. There's going to be a big old baseball stadium here pretty soon. And so there's kind of that vibe. And then in other parts, there's more of like a rambler vibe or like a single family home vibe. There's an island that you can walk around in the middle of this big man-made lake. And in the summer, you can like rent paddle boards and go out on the lake. And everything about it is really beautiful. I remember the first time that I came to Daybreak, it was such a contrast from where I grew up. As many of you know, I grew up on a Mormon polygamous compound in Wyoming. And what that looked like, my dad thought that was Zion. So my dad was trying to build Zion or the kingdom of God in Wyoming. And what that actually looked like was like, you know, three or four trailers on a hill on a ranch in the desert of Wyoming. So lots of dirt, lots of corrals. There was an old ramshackle barn that was like falling apart. There was like tons of manure in all of these barns. Like there were like probably like a football field worth of corrals with cows in them. And there was just tons of shit. So it would like, and that would like blow up the hill. And we'd get like nice, real, nice, like shit storms. Anyway, so it wasn't like super comfortable. The trailers that we were in were pretty run down. They would leak. They would grow mold inside. We didn't have like air conditioning. We had swamp coolers, which were just like big giant machines that you'd soak like water in these like really gross, like fabric, old, really old, gross fabrics that were sort of on these cages. And then there was a fan that would blow in it. And that's how we would keep our house cool. And also it would smell like, a swamp. And so when I first came to Daybreak, probably 5 or 6 years ago, I was visiting some friends here, and I drove in, drove into the community, I was just, it was magical, because so much of Utah has so much of a monoculture in both religion and culture, and also in the way that we build. So a lot of Utah communities, a lot of Utah neighborhoods look the same. They're very, very cookie cutter. And when I drove into Daybreak, like all of the architecture was unique. All of the houses were different from each other, but they all had a similar theme. And the common spaces, there were a lot of common spaces, which I love about Daybreak, because it, again, is a very intentional community. It's sort of designed to get people out of their houses and interacting with each other in these common spaces, like these really great parks and these miles and miles of trails. And so I'm looking around at this place and I'm like, oh my God, this is Zion. Like this is basically what we were trying to create, is a community that was beautiful, that was connected, where people were involved with each other. And that's one of the things that I really love about Daybreak, is it's not just the physical location, which is, you know, great. It's the best city built on a testing site that I've ever been in, but it's also full of these really, really cool people. Because as sort of a newer, more intentional, more kind of unique and specific community, it's attracting a lot of really cool people. So it's attracting a lot of people from out of state. When people come, it's nationally known. So I think that Daybreak 2 or 3 years ago won like the best neighborhood in the United States, which I don't know how that competition works. I don't know who the judge is, so I don't know how cool that is. But I've not been named the best anything in the United States. So I imagine that's a pretty cool thing. But so people who are out of state know about Daybreak, and when they come here, a lot of them end up in Daybreak. And so for Utah, at least, it's pretty diverse. There are a lot of people from different ethnicities, different states, different hometown, like all of these different places that all kind of landed here in Daybreak. And it's created this really, really cool energy here of sort of intention. Like everyone here, everyone who's here wants to be here. They care about the community. They are engaged in the community. They're, and sometimes we have the most crazy arguments. Like just because we're engaged doesn't mean that we always get along. Like sometimes we have, currently we're in this big fight because Daybreak puts on these summer concert series, right? This whole summer concert series where every week they'll bring, you know, some, usually a cover band of someone, but it's fun. And come out to do these, like this park concert. And it's been so popular that people come from other communities. And so one of the big fights that we are having in the Daybreak community right now is over some new rules about those concerts, because some residents were super pissed that so many people were coming from outside of the community and they were taking up all the space and they were getting all the good spots. And then other people in the community were like, let's involve everyone. We don't have to like check tickets and or anything. Anyway, so it was a big kerfuffle, right? We were all arguing about that for a while, and we probably will be for all summer, I'll bet. But what I love that sort of underneath that, right? Underneath this conflict of, are we going to kind of close our doors? Are we going to be more inclusive? Which I think is an interesting, that conversation of, do we close our doors or do we welcome people in? I think is a really interesting and important conversation to have during these apocalyptic times, right? Like as more people find that they have to go other places because of the impact of climate change on their home regions, right? We love to complain about Californians moving here, but I guarantee you we are not done, right? Like as the oceans continue to rise, California is going to become much less pleasant to be in. And more people are going to be flocking to Zion in Utah. And anyway, so I kind of lost my train of thought there. Where did I go? So I was talking about people coming from California, inclusive or exclusive. So I think that, so I really believe that that conversation of like, do we welcome people? Or do we close our gates? That's an important conversation to have. And I don't know that there's one right answer there. But what I loved about this conversation that was happening in Daybreak, right, is that we're having sort of this mini version of this broader conversation that we're having as America, you know, as members of, as people living in the United States, about borders and immigrants, right? Like that's a big deal for us right now. Do we let them in? Do we not let them in? And we're having that same argument in, you know, in Daybreak, Utah, about whether or not we let the people from, you know, let the people from Harriman come do our summer concerts. I have some feelings about that, right? I think we should. I've come down on the side of inclusion, of welcoming, right? More people, the better. But what was interesting to me about this debate, right, this conversation as it was happening in my community, it's not so much that there was an argument about that. It's that people in the community were arguing about and for the community. So there was a level of engagement with the community that was evident by these people who had very strong feelings sometimes. And I loved that. I love being involved in a community that really cares about the community, right? A community that's intentional, that says, you know what, this community is important, and it's important enough for me that I'm willing to take my time and my energy and advocate for the kind of community that I want. Because that's a level of engagement, communal engagement, that I think is going to be really important over the next, you know, 100 years, as we go from a more national, more kind of global community to more local, right? As things start to sort of settle around here. And what's cool about this community of Daybreak is that there's lots of conversations about the kinds of community that we want to create happening right now. So there's tons of like mini groups within the community who are all sort of spinning and interacting and getting to know each other. I'm part of one kind of entrepreneurial group of people that about 1500 people who are all on some version of the entrepreneur journey. and we're all sort of in this community as part of Daybreak, right? And so I've just been really thinking about the importance of intentionally identifying and then engaging in your community. And I don't know that community necessarily is your town. Daybreak is not a town. It's sort of a sub HOA, but it's part of a broader city. But I think that it's, and I think we may need to get better as a national community at helping people identify what those communities are, because we need to be able to know what the, like, as an individual, I live in myself, and then I live in my family, and then I live in my community. And I think we need to do a better job at defining what that wider community is and how it interacts with the individual. I think we've sort of maybe lost that a little bit over the last, couple hundred years of industrialization. And we want to kind of step more in that direction. And I think for me that, a good approach to defining communities and defining the community that you want to be a part of begins with understanding and defining the values that you want in your community. So I wanted to share a little bit about the values that I want in communities, and one of the things that is really and finding these values in Daybreak, in the community that I live in, has been really fun and really life affirming for me, and it makes me really happy to be a part of this community. And the first value that I think is really important is that I call it diverse immunity. I've talked about it a little bit on this podcast, but it's the idea that a community that welcomes diverse opinions, religions, backgrounds, ethnicities, humans, right? Diverse and different humans, a community that welcomes that difference is always going to be more robust and more healthy, more able to respond to existential challenges, to climate challenges, right? To stresses on the community, because it will have access to more options, right? Diversity gives you options. And as humans, right? As sapiens, the way that we've survived isn't because we're the most, strong, probably not even because we're the most intelligent. It's because we have done a really great job at creating cooperation that has led to a lot of different options, so that we have different ways of doing things, right? So that we can go, like in Daybreak's case, so that we can come to a site of land that had been written off, that wasn't available for development because of testing. Now there are, thousands of people, probably 14,000 people who live here. And those were because we had a diversity of options for what to do with this land. And so having a diverse community gives you diverse immunity, right? It gives you this immune boost to survive challenges. So that's the thing that I think is the kind of my first value. When I'm looking for a community that I want to be a part of, and when I'm trying to promote values within my community, that's number one. Number two is just connection, opportunities for connection. And so that means that humans, we need in-person physical contact with other humans, right? That is a social and emotional and physical need that humans have. And so communities that promote and provide opportunities for the individual humans in those communities to come out and kind of interact with each other is really, really important. And Daybreak does a great job at this because we have some sort of standard, we have like some official neighborhood events that happen. But then we also just have a ton of sort of underground things that kind of pop up where people are out doing things. This last Halloween, a whole row, like a whole street in Daybreak decided to decorate all of their houses like the Barbie houses. And that got thousands of people in our community and from outside to come and like check this out, bumping into each other, talking to each other, right? All blocking traffic for the Daybreakers, which got a little annoying. And we definitely complained about that for a while, but it provided that was a really powerful gift to be given the opportunity to go out and interact with other humans, right? Especially after, you know, the devastation that was caused by the lockdowns during COVID. And so having the ability to meet in person and to have lots of opportunities for that in Daybreak or, and in just in any community is really important. And then I think the third thing that's really important for a community is a willingness to give generously to the community, to recognize that there are people in the community that often need help, and that the best way to respond to that is by generously giving. And that's been something that I've been just so grateful for, again, in this community that I've found in Daybreak, is that when I've needed help, the community has been willing to help. They've shown up for me. And that is such a contrast to the way that I was raised, right? To a community that wasn't about taking care of the individual. It was about exploiting the individual for the community, right? The cults that I grew up in weren't about taking care of individuals. They were about exploiting them, about seeing what could we get from this person at the cost of their physical and mental health. And so a community that doesn't do that, it's not exploitative, that's generous, right? That gives to the individuals and cares for the individuals, because the community is only as healthy as the individual members. And so that's kind of what's been on my mind this morning as I've been sort of settling into, as you know, the snow's actually, it looks like it started. So maybe we're getting snowed in today. So I'm just sort of sitting in the top of my tower in the middle of this really awesome community that I love, feeling so grateful for the community itself, and then just for the opportunity as humans that we get to rebuild our communities with each other over the next, you know, several decades. And the, you know, I think that's one of the solutions to the apocalypse, right? One of the ways that we're all going to survive and do okay and make it through is with each other. And that it really is important, especially as we move into this really definitely emotionally and verbally violent election year, to remember that underneath the politics, underneath the partisan bickering, underneath all of the hate that's being spewed, that we really are a community of humans. We're a community of humans on Turtle Island, and we all need each other. We all need the different diverse skills and viewpoints that we have. Every person in this community is important. And if we orient ourselves that way, if we think about our communities that way, that everyone matters and that everyone is important, that we actually need all of the humans here, I think the more loving and accepting and robust our communities will become, especially as we're tearing each other to shreds in this election. So that's it for this week. Thanks you guys for tuning out. This should be coming out on April 7th. So if you are listening to this on April 7th and you are around Daybreak or Harriman and you want to come out and see me at a show, I'm going to be on Comedy Church at the Redemption Bar and Grill tonight, April 7th from 7:30. So Comedy Church is a really fun comedy show that's put on by two comics, Adam Broud and Greg Kite. And they formed a church that is a comedy show. So we will be going to church. I've been asked to give a talk on the law of chastity. And it is going to be a really hilarious and important insight into that law for all of your posterity. So you should definitely come out 7:30 at Redemption Bar and Grill and in Harriman. And if you use my name, Benjamin, when you get your tickets, you can get them 20% off. So you'll save $2 on these tickets. So definitely come out, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks.